Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Boy, that was a comeback by Derek Carr and the Raiders on Monday Night Football, and a wild finish. I'll tell you all about it. Derek Carr rallied the Raiders, including after the Ravens took a 27-24 lead with 37 seconds left in regulation. Carr led a five-play, 38-yard drive in the 35 seconds leading up to Daniel Carlson's 55-yard field goal to tie the game and send it to OT in overtime. The Raiders thought they won it. I thought they won it watching it on TV on a 33-yard touchdown pass from Carr to apparently a touchdown pass at the time from Carr to Brian Edwards. But Edwards was instead ruled to have been down inside the one-yard line. The replay showed the knee was down. After a false start and incompletion, Carr had the ball batted, and Anthony Averett intercepted it. Five plays later, Lamar Jackson fumbled the snap and gave the ball right back to the Raiders. This time, Carr found Zay Jones for a 31-yard touchdown pass to win the game. It was just a great, at the end, it was so crazy. I forget the order. Everything happened already. Key, what was your big takeaway from the game?
Just how Carr was able to do what he needed to do in the second half of the game. And in particular, you mentioned just now, late in that game. So you went through the whole scenario, but I want you to go through it in the way I do it.
Oh, perfect.
So when you think about it, he threw three touchdowns, essentially, in that time span. The Edwards was a touchdown, even though it was a knee, which wasn't a touchdown, right? The one that slipped through the hands of the receiver was a touchdown, even though it wasn't a touchdown. Then the one is Zay Jones. So he was cooking on all cylinders at that point in time. The one is Zay Jones at the end, they're in a bunch formation to the left. He climbs the ladder on a deep crosser high angle, man coverage, blitz zero. They bring everybody. Carr throws off of basically a jump pass, sails it in the air, and poor Zay Jones. I'm sitting there saying to myself, whatever you do, don't drop the ball.
I mean, that's a fadeaway off one leg that Carr like shot.
Drop the ball. And Carr knew exactly how to lead the receiver all the way over to the S in Raiders.
Why would Carr, why would the receiver, Zay Jones in this case, why would they be more likely to drop the ball under those circumstances if they're wide open?
Man, it's just one of them deals. You wide open. How many times do you get open like that? But it was more impressive. The more impressive spot of that is the quarterback being able to throw it the way he threw it and hit the spot. Typically, he didn't set his feet. He didn't lean into it. He just kind of just put it where he knew to bring Zay all the way over close to the sidelines.
Jay, what was your big takeaway?
I feel like waking up this morning, I'm like, okay, I feel like I've seen this story before about the Raiders. I seen them beat the Kansas City Chiefs last year. Started to get hype about the Raiders.
Divisional rival, yep.
Boop. Then it just went downhill from there. And I'm wondering, can this team sustain that type of play? I think, look, their defense I thought was better. You know, we think about guys like Max Crosby. I mean, for him, in a traditional quarterback, if you were playing against a guy that wasn't as elusive as Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, I mean, he probably would have had five sacks. I give him a lot of credit for their defense. I just want to see them sustain this level of play. If we can start talking about it. And Key, I'm with you on Derek Carr. Three plays should have been touchdowns. I just want to see this level of play sustained throughout the course of the season because this was a depleted team in their secondary without Marcus Peters. There are a lot of questions. Backup for their running back, Latavius Murray, who missed a ton of blocks that allowed, you know, Carl Nassib to get that punch down for Lamar Jackson. I mean, Baltimore had a legit chance to win this game, even though they were so depleted.
Well, when you talk about Marcus Peters, it was a big loss for the Ravens in their secondary, no question about it. But the Raiders' offense have been very consistent and growing in the last 3 years under John Gruden. You mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs and when they beat them last year. The one thing that I would say to this, Jay, you know how I am. This is different, though.
It's different.
This one's
different. Put your finger on it now, Key. Well, I agree, but why?
First of all, it's the first game of the year, right? It's in a new stadium. It's in a hostile environment.
With fans for the first time in a minute.
A hostile environment. So you look at all of those sort of things, and they've never had this type of win. The Kansas City win wasn't this type of win. They won, but they play Kansas City tough all the time anyway. It's a divisional game. This is a situation where you look at the defensive line, which is way better. Rob Marinelli, defensive line coach over there, he knows what he's doing. Got the defensive line playing lights out, hats to the ball, all those guys. That's what's so different about them. They had a challenge. A guy like Lamar Jackson is going to give defenses fits because he's a dual threat. Okay, you see that guy once, maybe twice a year.
So you're not reading too much into the defensive problems against Lamar.
No, I'm not reading too much into it at all.
And they did force two turnovers.
They absolutely did. So why would you read into the defensive problems? Okay, so what? They gave up 27 points. How many damn teams? You think the Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a lights-out defense, didn't give up 27 points?
That's right.
I mean, like, come on.
Yeah.
What did they just do?
A more conventional offense.
Yeah. In the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, I want to get into this idea, guys. Let me tell you why, and I don't want to really –
take that home with
you. I want to chop this up right now, okay? The Raiders –
chop it up? What does that mean?
I want to chop it up. It means, Keyshawn, when some friends get together and have a conversation where they really get into it. Look, since they were in the Super Bowl, we talked about the Tampa Bay Bucs and everything. We had Derek Brooks on the other day. Since then, they've had one season above 500. They went 12-4, and then it was 6-10. But that's a long time to have. They've been 500 a bunch of times, but no seasons above 500 except that one 12-4 season like 5 years ago.
Man, okay. They went through like six different coaches.
Whatever it is, that's the reality we're dealing with in 20 seasons. So now they get Gruden. He gets a 10-year deal. Right? So he knows I got a lot of rope. I can do it my way. Trades Khalil Mack. 4-win season, 6-win season, 8-win season every year, 7-win season, 8-win season. You're going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not one of those teams yet, like the Ravens, like the Steelers, like the Patriots, where you know year in and year out, they're in the thick of things.
Yeah.
They will compete. Usually that's because the head coach and the quarterback are, Keyshawn, dare I say, elite or at least high level. So what I'm looking for in this game, Jay, and the reason I think it means more, all those points Keyshawn made, fans in the stands, you know, new stadium, all that stuff. Every year you're taking another step. You have to win a game like this. And there were many chances to lose it, but they kept fighting and won it. What does it say, Keyshawn, specifically about Derek Carr, who you have in the past called a top five quarterback?
Well, I think it says that he is going to arrive. If he's been with John Gruden 3 years now, right, Jay? 3 years. Each year, if you want to go off statistics and numbers, his interception total is that not high at all. His touchdowns are solid. His yardage are in around 4,000. So this year he'll throw for 4,500. May throw for 5,000 yards. He's getting better and better and better. And I think what happens in this situation, people don't like Derek Carr. They just don't like him, right? So no matter what you say about him, they're going to poo-poo it anyway. And they always think that John Gruden dislikes him because Gruden doesn't say anything.
And he wasn't his guy.
And when he says something, they think he's lying. You know, and it's like, well, wait a minute, man. Look at the film. All you got to do is look at the film.
Was Derek Carr one of the reasons you think Gruden wanted that job?
It was a quarterback established at that point. Remember, when he took the job 3 years ago, Carr was coming off 2 years prior to that, he was coming off an MVP-type season until he got hurt, and then they go to Houston and they lose.
Yes, who's the best young quarterback in the game? Andrew Luck or Derek Carr, right?
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden,
exactly.
And then he wanted to, he actually challenged me to fight me in the octagon because I said I thought he quit in some game.
Well,
he got mad.
I remember and I said that I would take the challenge on Carr.
For Carr, not for me. Thanks, Key. I want to see you take it on for me. Jay?
I had a question around Derek Carr for Key because you said, did I hear you correctly? Did Key say, and I didn't hear Key say it, I heard you say it, that Key called him a top five quarterback?
Yeah, NFL? Yeah. Yeah, I said he is an elite top five. If that is the gauging standard, then he's, for me,
for you,
I would take him as a top five quarterback.
Okay.
I don't have an issue with him being in the top five.
Okay, so we're not taking him over Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, or Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, that's safe to say. You're going to take...
I'm not taking him over Russell Wilson either.
Okay.
So there's a fifth slot open.
How about Deshaun Watson?
He's not playing right now.
Okay, so... Oh,
he's not playing right now.
We're going to play that in.
He's not. No, he's not. But he's not. Okay. There are lots of other
guys.
Same to me.
So that's it's that level.
In other words, when you say it's that level,
I feel like the ceiling for Dak is exponentially
it's that level.
When you start five, it doesn't sound to me like you mean literally five. I mean, whether it's 5, 7, 4,
there you go.
Eight, it's like that range.
That's that's what you bring to the show, the Columbia. You bring that smart, intelligent, clean it up.
And good looks, let's face it. Let's just be honest.
But yes, you're talking that 5 to 7, 6, 8. Would I rather have
10 range.
Would I rather have Matthew Stafford or Dick? Same guy.
Okay.
It's the same thing. According to our producer, us three, and you know, I don't really follow the whole Twitter craze, but apparently during the game, I was, what do you call it, trending or something, negativity about me saying that Derek Carr was a top five guy. This is what Evan Wilner, our producer, said. And they didn't watch the whole damn game. They're watching a play or two and talk about, how's that a top five guy?
Like, there are levels. In other words, there is the Mahomes Rodgers level.
Different.
That dudes like Herbert maybe are aspiring to get to one
day.
And then there's the level below that with the Dacks and the Cars, according to you, right?
Okay. So when you look at it, Josh Allen, Carr,
Stafford.
They're all the same.
Dak.
They're all the same. Dak Prescott, they're all
level.
The same.
The top level before you get to the superstar.
If I was picking at five and six of those dudes was on the board, left, I'd take any of them and be happy as all outdoors.
Makes sense.
Happy as all outdoors.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by Goodyear. College football's back, and Goodyear knows the passion it takes to drive every game forward. Whether your team's home or away, the traditions that bring us together are still the same. That's the road that moves us. Goodyear, more driven. Let's find out where Key has Derek Carr in the MVP race after week one. It's time for Key's Real Rankings.
All outdoors. Where did that come from?
No idea.
All right. Key's Real Rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies Advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Yeah, Key.
Number five.
Kyler Murray, Arizona. Number five. When you talk about the MVP rankings, I just, you know, big leap. You didn't think coming into this league this year that he would be a legitimate MVP candidate. But based on week one and some of the things that he did, magical things he did against the Tennessee Titans certainly puts him in the running.
Number four.
Number four, guy we just talked about, Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford had an amazing game for the Rams. He lit up the Chicago Bears defense, a defense that we thought was going to be better. You know what he brings to the Rams? The vertical game. He hits the vertical target. Anytime you can see some of the things that Jefferson and Cooper Kupp was able to do deep down the field, Robert Woods, a very underrated wide receiver, touching the football in the back of the end zone, getting feet down. I think
good.
He certainly has brought a certain style and element to the Los Angeles Rams.
Number three.
And the guy we talked about a minute ago, Derek Carr. I could swap four and three out and be just fine. I could put Carr at four, Matthew Stafford at three, and we wouldn't even have an argument at all, right, Max? Yeah. But when you watch Carr and you watch how he methodically drove the team down the field, yes, there were a few incompletes in the game, but so were there for the other quarterbacks. If Waller catches the ball with two hands instead of one, big completion, more yardage, more receptions, not incompletes. You just look at what he's able to do with no receiver, real receiver help, okay? Henry Ruggs is trying to learn how to play professional football.
That was a hell of a connection last night, though. Ooh, that was a pretty pass.
And he's never had a legitimate number one wide receiver.
Yeah,
he had Amari Cooper for a very short period of time. Waller, a tight end, is his favorite guy.
Number two.
And number two is not a quarterback, believe it or not. It's Tyreek Hill, the joystick. I mean, what are you going to do with that? No matter what you do, week in and week out, we continue to always say, why don't they slow him down? Why don't they do this to him? All he did was, I think he had 11 catches, close to 200 yards. It's ridiculous. I just don't understand how he continues to be a video game every single week, and they can't figure out how to slow him down.
Number one.
And number one is the number one guy every single year in Russell Wilson. Will he finish at number one for Seattle? We watched him slice and dice an Indianapolis Colts defense last year that was one of the top defenses in the National Football League. Yes, he's gotten the ball to Lockett. In Metcalf, and he certainly has put the passing game and the Seattle Seahawks offense on his back. The one thing that he needs to do is continue to play like that. Less Sierra and Russell Wilson, more Russell Wilson in the Seahawks.
I mean, listen, When they made that Max Unger for Jimmy Graham trade, that protection up front was different for Russell Wilson. That's been a problem since then. Hopefully they got that right. Key, the thing that jumps out to me is...
Wait a minute. You forgot about Tom Brady. Wait a minute. You forgot about Patrick Mahomes.
You forgot about Aaron Rodgers.
That's this week.
You forgot about Aaron Rodgers.
No, not this week. Not this week.
That's this week.
Yeah.
That'll change next week.
Shane, don't you have, because I was thinking about Shane Waldron. Don't you think that them opening up the playbook and
where's Russell, Jameis Winston?
And Russell getting a new offensive coordinator. I mean, the amount of time they ran play action, it seemed like double the amount of times I've seen him run it before. Opened up the playbook. How much does that play into the success for Russell?
Well, you know what you just saw there. You saw the Rams offense with Russell Wilson. Mm. That's what you saw. You saw somebody duplicating what Sean McVay did with Matthew Stafford and did a little bit with Jared Goff is what you saw with Russell Wilson in Seattle.
The thing that jumps out to me is the Tyreek Hill pick. I want to talk about Tyreek Hill for a second. When we talk about the best receivers in the game, he somehow, no one ever takes him number one because his route running or hands or whatever it is or size or he's
got
thought
nice
of.
Hands.
Yeah, no, I know what I'm saying, but like DeAndre Hopkins is
special
that way.
Because he's
Michael
in a different,
Thomas.
He's in a different category.
But that's
though.
What I'm saying. Like, yes, he's almost like a return guy who can also do all these things. But at a certain point, you have to just evaluate him as a receiver. And I got to tell
you
guys the truth.
You can't evaluate him as a receiver.
I wouldn't take any receiver before him right now.
Yeah, but
he's a different kind of weapon.
I get it. I understand it. We're redoing the draft all over again. The reality of it is he's not a receiver. He's just in a special category.
A weapon.
It's a jack of all trades and a master of none.
If he's in a receiver pool, right, and you get one pick, is it reasonable to say whatever the other guys can do or can't do, he gives me something just different than anyone else. I got to take him.
Depends upon what you like, right?
So – who's healthy?
Everybody.
D-Hop.
Are we factoring in age?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but see, we can't do that.
Why not? Okay, so don't factor in age. I don't know. Are we factoring in quarterback, right?
No, let's do this. Let's just say a receiver, put him in the pool.
Yeah.
And you need one guy, and they're healthy no matter what. Just forget the age. They're all the same. We're looking at their skill set. Just the skill set.
Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins?
Julio Jones.
Oh! If Julio Jones is still
healthy,
but we played player or brand earlier.
No, but remember what I just said.
If he's healthy.
No, I'm talking about at the best at what they do. At the height of their careers is what I'm saying.
But are we talking about right now?
I'm saying right now. I'm saying right now.
The current landscape right now.
I agree with Julio Jones if he's at his best.
As the current landscape right now, I'm probably going to take Tyreek.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Somehow he's never talked about that way. This is my whole point.
No, because I don't know what to do with him.
But
I'm going to do exactly what Andy Reid is doing with him.
But you know what? Key,
or Eric Bieniemy better
yet. Here's what's crazy. They're doing it with him.
Yeah.
He's doing it.
Yes.
And still somehow, when we talk about the best receiver in the game, it's almost like people are reluctant to say, you put him number two MVP right now. People are reluctant it's Tyreek Hill, in fact.
Here's what I say, Buttercup. Here's what I say.
Buttercup?
When you look
talking
at
Jay and not me.
You look at Tyreek's numbers, right? He's not a 120-catch guy.
Right.
So you know how that goes.
Yeah.
If he catches 120 balls and he has 1,400 yards and 17 touchdowns.
Then he's anointed.
He's anointed.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a 70-catch guy for 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns. And people are just going like, because they're looking at the numbers.
The numbers.
Here's a perfect example for you. In my opinion, Robert Woods.
Agreed.
Not because he went to USC.
Best receiver on the team overall.
Nasty. Yeah.
Because overall, as a receiver, he belongs in a certain category, man. I don't give a damn what nobody
said. That whole outside run blocking zone scheme.
Man, that
dude's
good.
Robert Woods blocking as a wide out that lets that happen.
Robert Woods is good.
He's really good.
Always not Robert been. Woods from Buffalo.
Right.
Robert Woods, since he's been with the Los Angeles Rams.
At SC, he was good.
Is underpaid. I don't care a damn what nobody say. I don't care that you label him as a 2-3. He's their number one.
Well, but he's...
Do you put him ahead of DeAndre Hopkins?
Robert Woods? No.
It's a different...
No.
It's different
I'm just hearing you guys talk about Robert Woods. Legit question,
right? It's different.
I'd say he's the most. I'd say he's
the
best.
We haven't really mentioned D Hop's name yet.
I would say Robert Woods is the best overall football player who plays receiver on the Rams, and they have a good core.
Yes.
I would say DeAndre Hopkins is on a short list of all time hands, right? Like, I think of Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
You didn't mention me.
It's unbelievable.
He mentioned Larry Fitzgerald, Chris Carter, DeAndre Hopkins, but didn't mention my hands.
How are your hands, Key? How are they feeling?
I think they're okay.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I want to get to the MVP, back to the MVP quickly, Key, because you left Jameis off, and Jameis looked real good. Five
touchdowns.
Yeah,
the reason I left him off is because, again, here's the statistical game, right? He threw for 150 yards or whatever it was, five touchdowns. Clearly, he threw the bomb, but for the most part, he didn't crash. He just kept everything
looked
safe.
He had a good play in the red zone.
No, that's what I'm saying. He didn't crash, though. He just kind of kept it there. But doesn't mean because I only have five, he ain't six or seven or five and a half. And next week he jumps to three. That's not what it means. It just means he didn't make the top five.
Well, it's going to be interesting to track this throughout the course of the season, see who winds up where. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speaker.
And yes, I know I left Patrick Mahomes off for the 80th time. So please.
He might be there next week.
Don't say I left Patrick Mahomes off because I know.
I noticed you left Patrick Mahomes off. USC is no longer stuck in the clay, so to speak.
Jeez.
So Clay tells you how they move forward. That's after Jay has this from Rumble On.
Do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage that you've been wanting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha. And even if you are just looking to trade it in, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or the model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter promo code RADIO to get a $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash.
Why did USC make this move now after just two games?
When you look at what happened Saturday night, Stanford game, I mean, we got run out of our own building.
What should be done eventually must be done immediately, so I wasn't surprised.
More Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max next.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I feel like Paul was taking a shot at me right there.
See what they're playing, though? If I ruled the world.
Oh, God.
Oh, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. If you're the coach of SC and Key's tweeting about you on a Saturday night and it's not good, it's really not good. He tweeted this on Saturday, quote, I'm so pissed. Can I even say that on the radio? I can no longer fight on, all caps, for him. Period. Peace sign. Embarrassing.
Well, that's the Trojan sign, not peace as in get
that's
out of
peace.
Here. You turn
that's
it,
peace.
You turn
goodbye.
It into peace, huh?
Peace. Two fingers up means goodbye. Peace.
You're all so silly.
Key, why did you force USC to fire Clay Helton right now?
No, don't build. You're not going to build that narrative on our show. Don't do that to my man.
Okay, let me just
don't,
be
don't
very
put my
clear.
Man in that position.
I'm kidding, everybody.
You know how people
you
are
You can
out
connect
there.
The dots yourself, but for real, why did USC fire Clay Helton now?
It was time to go. I mean, it was that time, though, Max. Yeah. In all honesty, if you followed this program for many, many years, USC's football program, it stood for something. And right now, we don't. We are a punchline of college football, and we've been that way for quite some time. And so, you know, you can go all the way back to, man, first of all, the SEC was born because of USC.
Tell that story.
We integrated the SEC in 1970 with a freshman named Sam Bam Cunningham. We went down there and took him to the woodshed. And the next year, they said, well, we've got to start to get African-American players on our team. That's what USC is all about, making statements. And we haven't been able to do that in such a long time. It was all fine and dandy when we first hired Clay Helton. I was one of a handful of guys that said, right guy for the job, because we were coming off of something. We needed stability. We needed a big change from Lane. We moved on. Sark, he had his issues. We had to have some stability in the program. And he gave us that, but he did not take us over the top. The biggest win that Clay had was against Penn State in the Rose Bowl. I mean, when we ran up against Ohio State's and Alabama's, we got ran out of the building.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
So, you don't want that. Now, this is the worst loss, I think, that we've ever had against Stanford at home when we struggled against San Jose the week before. And when you look at recruiting, yes, the rankings say one thing, but I'm talking about pure talent. We miss on talent. I don't care about rivals.
Let's
and
stop right there. Let's stop right there.
Talent.
So I look at the history into after the Pete Carroll stuff and all these scholarships are lost. At the same time, Oregon gets those fancy new uniforms and facilities. But is there something more? Why has SC had such a hard time?
We got the scholarships back now.
Right, but why has there been such a hard time recruiting from that area compared to times past?
What happens when we were down in a lack of scholarships – and we were not making strong runs in playoff contention and all those sort of things. Other teams like a Clemson and an Alabama, student enrollment goes up from California, believe it or not, because people see and they want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of that, regardless of what people think about the education at those institutions. The student athletes look at that and they go, I want to be a part of that. Mm. And so now they are allowed to come in and recruit in your backyard and get those DJUs and those Bryce Youngs and Matt Corrells. They are allowed to come in now because you've opened the door for that to happen. You didn't take that net and cover your backyard.
Jay, I want to ask you this because this is like a broader question about, like, we forget because we're old already, right?
Yeah, you guys
that
are.
These, old.
That these
Who's
guys,
old?
Well, he's 49,
Don't
I'm 48,
tell my age.
And you just turned 40.
Yeah, I'm hanging on.
But, me too. I'm good.
The point is, when you go back to Pete Carroll, you're going back over 10 years already. These kids were babies at the time, right? That are entering college now. So once you lose those scholarships and the reputation shifts, they've heard stories about the old days, but that's not their experience. That's one of the remarkable things about Duke, for example, the program you come from in college basketball, is they've maintained a certain level for so long with an insistence on like standards, right? But there are years where you're up and down, but there's no like long period of time where Duke is not competitive, right? But that's the reaction I'm seeing at SC now, like where people are looking around and going, wait, time out. We can't compete with the top programs? So what is that allows an institution like Duke basketball, for example, to maintain that over time?
I mean, the easy answer, one of the greatest coaches, maybe the greatest coach to ever coach the damn game of basketball,
right,
and Coach K. I mean, that obviously helps. I think the way they've reinvented how they market the program has also been something that's been intriguing. I don't know how USC has gone about that. But
we've gotten better.
You've gotten better
we've
at
gotten
that.
Better.
Okay. I guess if Dante Williams is the interim head coach, Key,
mm-hmm.
What do people need to see from him in order for him to be the guy moving forward, because Paul Feinbaum came on and was like, hey, I just want to caution everybody about the interim guy getting that position, because sometimes you need that
Jay, interim head coaches, it's double-edged, right? Some are successful, some are not. Mario Cristobal was an interim head coach.
Yep.
He got the job and they're rolling right now. He's one of the hottest coaching candidates going. You know who else was an interim head coach? Dabo Sweeney. Mm. So I understand what Paul's saying, but you don't poo-poo it just yet. You gotta let's just see what Dante does before we start to say, because one thing he does do well is he recruits. He coaches the secondary. He does well there. He's put a number of guys in the NFL. He's from the LA area. He's the first African-American coach, head football coach at USC. You know how happy USC alumni is? And I heard Paul say, don't listen to the alums. You know how happy the alums are that we are now going in a different direction and we're not holding on and rewashing and rewashing and rewashing? Man, they jumping for joy. My phone wouldn't stop ringing last night from just people that went there, played there. Like, man, what do you think? What you think we should do? And because they're excited about there's a real opportunity now to rebuild the program and rebrand the program where wash, rinse, repeat.
Before we get out of here, Jay, I want to ask you a question, seeing what Key is going through now with his program. Do you have some anxiety as as a Dookie, right? Like as a guy, so to speak, like seeing what's gone on when a guy like Krzyzewski, which you identified, of course, as the number one driver of that level of dominance for that time in his last season, where you're looking at a future without Coach K, how the institution handles that and what that means going forward. What's your level of anxiety about that at this point?
It's high. I think John Shire, who Coach K has announced to be the next head coach, has done a really good job with Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith helps that drastically. A lot of players relate to Nolan and with John, too. So I think it's moving in the right direction. I just wonder, is there that same patience, right? Like, Coach K had back-to-back 17 lost seasons, like in 82-83, man. Like, Coach K never becomes Coach K if Tom Butters, the athletic director, doesn't believe in him. So I also wonder about that. Like, how long will ADs hold on to coaches that initially struggle, right? Do they have that patience to allow them to flourish?
Paul brought that up with this decision. Like, if you keep hopping from dude to dude, it doesn't work.
We haven't really hopped from dude to dude. We gave Clay plenty. Clay was the head coach six years.
Yeah.
That's plenty of time to get us. Man, we have not played in the college football playoffs. What are we supposed to just sitting back?
No.
What are you doing? Oh, I'm booking flights to El Paso. For what? Oh, we're going to go play in the El Paso Bowl.
No.
Like, no.
That's not for SC.
That's not what we want to do.
That's for schools of lower standards.
Paul also said, don't listen to alumni and fans. No, that's not true. Because the alums are the ones that's running the damn university. So you got to listen to them.
Clearly, one tweet and the whole thing is
done. Nothing wrong with the KJM Bowl, okay? Nothing wrong.
Oh, God.
All right. Week one is in the books in the NFL.
Popeye Chicken Bowl.
An overtime thriller to end week one. It was a fitting end to a great week of football. Much more on that after Jay has this from O'Reilly.
Do you have a motorcycle, ATV, or even a truck that's sitting in your garage that you've been wanting to sell and waiting to sell? I want it to do both. With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you a cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha. And even if you're just looking to trade it in, RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or the model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter promo code RADIO to get $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash.
USC was breaking moves after just two games and fired head coach Clay Helton. Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two,
Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I taught him that at the Manning Passing Academy.
Jackson will throw for the touchdown. Hollywood hits Las Vegas. Carr dips it in it. It's Waller. He spins into the end zone. Four quarters are not enough to decide it. And it is Edward.
Yeah, he knows right there. You can see it.
Carr throwing off the fingertips and intercepted. Jackson trying to get out. Can't do it. He's taken down and it's out. And the Raiders have recovered it. All alone.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. I know this apropos of nothing. I'm looking at Eli and Peyton there, thinking they want to combine four Super Bowls, and they both played a long, long time. And Tom Brady this year is going for twice as many as both of those dudes combined.
With a loaded team.
It's
and
insane.
Probably and he's twice their age.
That is twice. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Man. Guys, this is how Coach John Gruden, after I thought a gutsy win by the Raiders at home on Monday Night Football last night in overtime, how the game made him feel.
Felt like I died and woke up and died again, and I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight. I don't like playing like that. It was tough, but again, we did a lot of really good things to win that football game tonight.
They did. They absolutely did, and I understand exactly what Gru was talking about. You look up. They have an opportunity with Edwards. Oh, it's touchdown. Knee. Nope. Bring it back. Ball goes to receiver hand. Interception. Oh, we just
That's
lost.
That's the end of the game, Key. You That's know, it. Game over.
Headset off. We're getting ready. Oh, we score. You know, it's like all those sort of things. It's that heartbeat, man, where it's just you sit there in that stress level. That's why coaches is so funny. Coaches look one way. 2 years later, they look another. Like, damn, man, what happened to you? All the stress and the anxiety.
Like being president. They come out with white hair.
It's wild. And you can see, though, with the Raiders, they needed this win, though. Mm. I mean,
no
you know.
No doubt. Jay, let me ask you like a broader question, a sports question, right? This translates from any sport, I think. What is that thing where, like, you got to have a good effort, whatever, but you wind up, they've been over 500 once since they were in the Super Bowl in 02. What is that thing that a team has that can win games like that? And so you wind up with double-digit wins instead of just, oh, they were a good 8-8 team or 8-9 team this year, something like that. What's the difference? Is it just luck? Is luck the residue of design? What's the design? How do you get to be a winning team in those situations like the Raiders were yesterday?
I'm not sure that this team lacks it, but, I mean, until you prove it, just being confident that you feel like you can win any game that you're in, that speaks volumes, man. Like, confidence is such a underrated thing that people don't think about going into games. Like, if you walk into a game with swagger, like, we know we belong on this type of stage. Okay, Josh Jacobs, go change your cleats a couple times. Your toes hurt, but you still gonna get the damn ball. Like, Kenyon Drake, okay, you haven't been running the ball at all. We're gonna catch the ball in the backfield. Like, that confidence speaks volumes about your ability to know that you can win those games when things get close.
And you've been in that position many times over, Max.
Experience, yeah.
Think about two guys, real quick. Just two guys. When it's the chips is all down, in a minute's left on the clock, we can go to the restroom and come back. We know what's getting ready to happen to him. Tom Brady. Minute 30 on the clock, Patrick Mahomes.
What, you know it. You know it.
Two guys. They've been there so many damn times in those situations. Calm, cool, collective. It continues to work out for you. Where the Raiders have been there,
it hasn't,
and it does not work out, and you already lose confidence. Like Jay said, you have no confidence. It's like, man, we get ready to lose this, man.
So this is a real – so when you – Key, when you say this is so important, and I agree, because this becomes – since Carr has the talent, since Gruden and Carr can be a winning combination, this is a building block where you say they've been through the experience. You can get to that place you're talking about.
You can.
But you have to have these experiences.
It's like when a player is replaced on the defensive side of the ball, for instance. I'll just use a corner. When all of a sudden I see Max Kellerman has to go to corner in the game and I'm a teammate, I'm like, damn, they're going to get him again. Because they got you before. Mm-hmm. But that 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th game, when you go in, I'm like, oh, okay, he has experience. He okay. They're going to try him. Oh, Max picked it off. We good now. You got the confidence and that belief in who he is. And that's the same way with a team.
Earlier,
you have to start believing.
It's all the confidence that we don't have in Daniel Jones.
Right.
Think about it that way.
Yeah, well,
right? When
you're
not watching a game,
it's the opposite.
Us,
you know
comes.
He's going to cough it up.
Here it comes.
Yes.
It's the opposite of that.
Or the confidence that the Jets may have in their team, where all of a sudden it's like, well, we're going to be the Jets again. We're picking in the top three.
Yeah. Well, you earlier, we were talking about levels of quarterbacks, and we said top five or elite or whatever, but your point really was, look, there's Mahomes and Rodgers and maybe Russell, whatever, a couple guys. And then there's a level right under the Superman level, which is real, real good. Dak Prescott, Matt Stafford, Derek Carr,
you put
a whole bunch of, like, a handful of dudes in that category.
Greatest American hero.
So Derek Carr is one of those guys who's top quarterback as
he's
far
not
as you're
Superman,
concerned.
But he's the greatest American hero.
Guy, he's the greatest American
hero.
He
can get it done.
He didn't read the manual exactly. He's flying a little side. The point is, those guys in that level, like Dak, like Stafford, who hasn't won playoff games, like Carr.
Josh Allen.
Is that Josh Allen? In order to take the next step, they have to have these experiences. Is it possible for Carr to elevate over the level he is with these kind of experiences?
Yeah, because the reason he's going to elevate over that level is because the head coach is going to also take his game up a notch. Because he now experienced that. You say, well, John Gruden's won a Super Bowl. Man, that was 18 years ago.
Yeah.
This is a new experience with a new team for him now.
Okay, real quick, so why is it every damn year that we talk about John Gruden like, oh, his favorite quarterback is always the next quarterback?
Because
like, why is Derek Carr never good enough for John Gruden? He wins a game like that.
We're saying that. Maybe it is. Maybe he is.
It's the narrative, Jay. It's like a narrative. Okay, perfect example. The narrative on me when I first start working here with you, you got to look at me and go, you watch every move this fool make, because ain't no telling. I heard this.
Got those crazy green eyes.
Yeah, he got. Yeah, exactly. His skin glows a certain way. He may try to do anything. And so that is kind of how the car
situation
is. There's
no substitute for experience.
Exactly.
You
got
to find out about someone through experience, and they can also grow through experience. And this is a growth
experience
right here.
Ever since he's been
right
with Gruden, he's thrown for 4,000 plus yards every single year.
Go ahead and preach it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by DraftKings. I won DraftKings this week.
Congrats.
I'm in a league with a bunch of ESPN people, and I am the draft king of the league. Raj, our old producer, is the draft. He calls
Don't
himself,
know him either.
Thanks for the invitation.
He comes
to
in
the
second.
League. Appreciate
okay,
that.
Okay, let's do a DraftKings league. Sign up with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Use code KJM. To get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. By the way, my debut episode of This Just In, where I expect to see both of you, premieres at 2 p.m. Eastern today on ESPN. I want a full critique tomorrow from Keyshawn Johnson.
Today?
No,
oh,
no, not, you're not going to be on today. I'm saying we're going to have you.
You
on
said
the show.
You expect to see us today.
No, not today.
Not today.
Want
I'll
you
be
to
sleep.
See me today. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll see you tomorrow. Poof.
Did you say TiVo?
Yeah.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.